Hey church. How good is it to welcome three new, one brother and two sisters into our family, hey? It's a wonderful day, and I couldn't help but reflect on, you know, how much it takes for someone to give their life to Jesus. You know, if you can think of someone that you've been maybe trying to share the gospel with, or to someone that you've prayed over, and think about, I guess, how ongoing that whole process is. But isn't God kind? Isn't God kind to be able to let us have this day where we can witness it as a family, to see three young people give their life to Jesus? It's beautiful. Today I wanted to, Pastor actually asked me to preach on something to do with baptism, but also discipleship. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a little question that I want you to discuss for 2 minutes, maybe 1 minute each, with the person next to you. Is what is the connection between baptism and discipleship? All right, you got 60 seconds each. Go. What is the connection between baptism and discipleship? This is like speed dating all over again. Okay, you got 60 more seconds, so you better let the other person have a go at speaking now. All right, I can see that there's some people at the front who've definitely come up with their answers and got that very proficiently. There's some people who are still looking it up on Google to find out their answer as well. But some of you definitely need some time after service to continue your good conversations that you're having. Don't let me interrupt you. I'm going to put forward to you the way that I see baptism and discipleship being connected with each other. Let's see if it resonates with you guys as well. So that is this. Baptism is that moment in a time in your life where you can say, I am saved by Christ. Okay, where you understand what his son, the Father's son, came here to do, that you understand that you've got this sin problem that needs conquering, and then you realize that Jesus is able to save us from that problem. And when we realize that he saves us through his death and his death and resurrection. Just like how we saw, like how we witnessed in the pool just now, the people going down into the water as Jesus went down to the depths of death for our sake on the cross. And yet they came back up. We didn't just leave them hanging underwater to their fears. We actually brought them back up. Just as Jesus came back and rose from the dead, he was resurrected back to life. And so that life is reflected in theirs as well. This is their moment to say, I am saved by Christ in front of all of you. Not just privately in their own hearts, not just one-on-one with God, but it's gone outward. And it's gone in first to you guys, and we hope that it will keep on going outwards beyond these walls of this church. But with baptism, that then becomes, once you know that you are saved by Christ, this entry point into a life with Christ. And that life I can describe to you as following Christ. Discipleship is following Christ, the one who saved me. Very simple, right? So we know that we're saved by Christ, and now we're invited to reflect that life in Him by following the one that saved us. And so I wanted to just bring us back to this very powerful moment in Jesus's gospel where He's with His disciples. This is after He's been resurrected, and this is before He's gone on to be ascended. This is when He's got 11 disciples, not 12. And it's from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. If I bring it up here. So it says, Matthew says this, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" It's a very powerful verse because it resonates the promise of Abraham that he would be the father of many people and the father of nations. And we see that happening as believers go out into the world and start proclaiming this gospel of Jesus and what He's come to do, which is to save them and show the world that He is the way. He is the Messiah, and He is the one true God. That then starts having this impact on the rest of the world, where many people from all sorts of nations start turning to Him, and we see that promise of Abraham start being fulfilled. And to do that, Jesus gives them a very powerful commandment: go. Okay, not just stay, go. Go where? Go out into the world. It's like releasing a child when they become an adult, when you realize that moment is here. I haven't reached that point, but I've definitely lived through that point where my mum's still trying to let me go. But yes, you know that point where you realize that your children or your loved ones are ready for what you have prepared them to do. They are at this point. They are at this point where Jesus says, "You are ready. I have given you everything that you need to be ready, and now it's time to be released into the world." And so what are they supposed to do? I've highlighted it there for you. They're supposed to go and do what? They're supposed to make disciples. And we'll see later on how they go and do that. But they're called, these people, these 11 very close followers of Jesus are called to go and fulfill this big promise, this old-time prophetic word that's been given to the whole of Israel. They've been called to do this, to make disciples of all nations by bringing them to Christ. And what happens when they do come to believe in Christ, the one and true Savior? They are to, that's right, baptize them. I've highlighted it there in red. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the wonderful thing that we got to experience today. Brothers and sisters, we are part of this great commandment to go and make disciples. And part of what's been witnessed today is part of that great commandment that God had in mind. We're really part of His story, part of His great plan. He knows us well, that He knew that this time and this place was when we get to witness this thing happen. But part of baptizing is that entry point into discipleship. that following Christ part. And that's the last word that I've highlighted there in verse 20. And teaching them, teaching them, teaching them, teaching them, teaching them. If you want to know how to teach someone, you only need to look at the Bible. You see that the disciples go and they tell them of the life in Christ. They tell them of what they experienced of Christ, all these great things that they witnessed firsthand. They give testimonies of who he is. And they start telling them truths, all the truths that he had taught them, all those nuggets of revelation that he spent with them in his 3 years of ministry with them. It's a short time, but somehow they got to learn all the truths that he was revealing to them. And so part of them fulfilling this great call to make disciples of all nations is for them to teach these people who have been baptized, these people who have been brought into God's kingdom, into his big family, right? And so discipleship involves that teaching component, right? As we follow Christ, we need to know the Christ that we're following. And so we need someone to teach that to us. And in the early days, the Holy Spirit was that someone who could teach them these things, because Jesus had gone off to be at the right hand of the Father. But now they're living it out in the time that we'll later see in Acts. They're living it out as the people who are teaching those baptized believers all those truths of Christ. And so as we follow him, we ourselves are taught. We're taught by God himself, and we're also taught by the people in our lives who we're also following. Those people that God has put in our lives to articulate what we need to learn in simple terms so we can get there. Those people in our lives who are just one step ahead of us. God is kind. God is kind. All right, so the next passage is this. And it's from Acts. Acts chapter 2 says this. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now here we see the disciples living out that great call to go and make disciples through teaching. And the ones that who were accepting this good news that they were teaching of their Messiah, they were baptized. The Lord added thousands, 3,000 just in one day. Just in one day. Just from fulfilling, walking in that life of Christ, fulfilling that part that they've been called to do, brought 3,000 people that day. And that was only a couple of disciples there. This is the power of God working when they're actually walking in line with what Jesus had wanted them to do. So remember, baptism is I'm saved by Christ, and discipleship is following Christ, the one who saved me. And then we get to discipling. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. So you're getting a picture of what that discipleship looked like in their day. They're breaking bread together. They're praying together. Verse 45 says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love here how you see that they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to that commandment from Jesus to go and make disciples, and they devoted themselves to the teaching. And you can see in this fellowship, it's described as breaking bread together, praying for one another, giving up what they had and giving it to someone else. All a reflection of what Christ had done for them. And they did it, not with a heavy heart, but they did it with glad and sincere hearts. They did it genuinely. And while they did it, they gave praise to the one who deserved it all, that is God. And what did God do? The result of all of that, that obedience to God, that following Christ's instructions and fulfilling that teaching to those disciples, those believers, after baptizing them, he added to their number daily those who were being saved. Church, this is an old truth, but it is not a new truth. It is the same truth that applies today. And it is very real in our lives as we've just witnessed today. God is ushering people to hear the good news. He is ushering people to position them around believers, sending them, waiting to hear of this Savior, waiting to hear of this person who can give them who no one else can, or what no one else can. And they're waiting to be taught, they're waiting to be taught all these truths that we know, that we as believers know. And once they hear it, they accept it. They accept it. And then we are in a position to throw them in the water, dip them in the water, to baptize them, to proclaim them in front of everyone, to say, God is adding to our number. Yeah? Now, I don't want to sound greedy, but I'm really pleased to have these three people being baptized today, because it's a show to the world. There's a show to the world that we've got three people who are saying they believe that Jesus is true. They believe that he is worth following. And I can't wait to send them out into the world so they can tell their friend at school what I did on the weekend. They can tell their colleague, this is who I believe in. This explains where I am on the weekend. This explains the values that I have. It's because I have this person called Jesus who went and did this thing 2,000 years ago that I'm impacted by. And I pray that they would be out there and one day be able to say to their friends, their colleagues, or the strangers, that this is why I am the way I am. Because I believe in someone other than myself. I believe in this person called Jesus. I want to bring up this slide, which I love, out of that whole ritual that we did, because it shows what we are to do as a community, who we are as part of this great commandment to go and make disciples of all nations. In our ritual, it asks the people, you and me, will we nurture one another in the Christian faith? Will we nurture one another in the life and include these people in our care? And we said what? We said we do. We will. And I can't wait for you as people to be able to show that to these baptized brothers and sisters. To show that to them. That you're willing to nurture them in their faith. Because they're gonna need nurturing. Our part and our response in this whole ritual says, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news. I hope that every time these guys go through something in life, we are there to give them the good news and not warp it, not change it. Just give them that gospel that we've been taught. Hand it on to them because they're going to need it. Just like you and me, we're going to need the gospel spoken over us every day. But I hope that we don't shy away because maybe we're not close to them. No, we are very close to them. We're spiritual siblings in God's family now. That by itself has brought us together. Baptism has brought them into fellowship with one another. We can now break bread with them. I know we were doing it before. Yes, especially Lap and Tracy. He has to do it every day. No, but that breaking bread and praying for them, that invitation into each other's life to share life with one another, to go beyond just seeing each other at church, just beyond associating with one another, but to get to know our fellow brother and sister in Christ, our sibling. And I hope that we can still give them the good news, no matter how we're feeling, and no matter what we're going through, can we continue to proclaim that good news over their life? And so it says in our ritual, we will surround these people with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust for God. I hope that when we love them and when we forgive them, it's not to try and achieve a result or maybe we're trying to keep everything peaceful. I hope that we have this desire to grow them, not just in themselves, but to grow them in their trust. Not in you, but in God. That's what Jesus wants his disciples to do, is grow their trust, not just in people, in God. And it says, and be found faithful in their service to others. And it says, we will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Brothers and sisters, there's that life that we have together where we're sharing it with one another. We're going beyond just being associates of one another, but we're going into each other's houses to break bread. We're coming into each other's lives to go through what each other's going through, to be there for one another. But we're there to pray. And prayer is a very powerful thing. Because when we're praying, we're inviting God into their situation. And if I can go back to that other one, what are we called to do? To grow their trust in God. As disciples of another person, we're not there to try and fix their situation. We're not there to fix them, who they are. That work has to be God's work. And so I think that's why Jesus, that's why the apostles, that's why the disciples have given this into our word to remind us to pray, because that keeps us reminded that God is in this person's life. The trap that we can fall into as humans is to think that it is us that is doing everything. We might be the hands and feet, in the person's life, but the one actually working in that person's life is God. So discipleship is following Christ, the one who saved us. And so in practical terms, what does that look like? There is a calling for every one of us to follow Christ, okay? Big picture, he's the one who saved, so we follow him. His instructions, his commandments, his life, his character, we follow that person. But God is very kind, because amongst this church and other churches, but amongst this church, he has given every person here another person. Another person who is one or two steps in life ahead of you. It is part of his magnificent provision for his people. And so we have this responsibility as God's people, like these disciples did, to go and make other disciples and teach them. We have this responsibility to also do it for someone else. That is something worth praying about, but that is also something that we should be able to look around and go, yeah, he actually has. Because I bet you that there is someone in your life who God's been reminding you of, and he's saying this person's name, and you just keep thinking about him, but you think that that is normal. That is not normal. That is God. That is God actually prompting you to say, I should actually go and introduce myself to that person. I should actually go and share with that person up front about where I'm at and see where God leads in that person's life. So that's going that way, that we are called to be disciples for other people. But it goes the other way, that if we are in need of someone in front of us, and we all are, God very much has provided that person. That's why he calls people together. That's why we are here. So if there is a person in your life who you've been reminded of, that comes to mind, that you've been praying for as someone that you need to have a conversation about with to say, I think God wants me to spend more time with you, that's a great starting point. And my encouragement is to go and do it. Go and put that into action. In Jesus' word, go. Go. He has given you permission to go and introduce yourself to someone else. That's what it means to be part of God's family. Yeah? Yeah. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. I would invite you guys to stand and we'll just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you are a God of provision for everyone in our church. I thank you, God, that Jesus inspired 11 people to go out and tell the world about who he was, what he taught them, and all the truths that would break people out of bondage, out of darkness, towards your light and life. I thank you, God, that through the ages of time, somehow the word of your truth got to be taught to the person who one day would share the good news, to proclaim that good news over our lives. That somehow this gospel got to us. And I thank you, God, that today you reminded us of what it takes for that good word to be planted and to take hold of someone's heart and soul. I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that would learn how to be discipled and how to disciple. But God, you've created an entry pass for us into your family as baptized believers. You've made a way for us to come to you for everything that we need. So God, whoever needs someone in their life to help them navigate your truths and to be taught your ways, your character, your promises, your life, Father, I pray that you would answer those prayers, that you would direct them towards who they need to be connected with. And I pray, Lord, that you are already readying those people who are ready to disciple, because you've been doing that work long before they've even thought about doing it. And I pray, Lord, that they get to experience what it's like to disciple someone else. I pray for the brokenhearted here who have had negative and bad experiences from being discipled, and also bad experiences from trying to disciple. And I pray that they would hear the good news once again of your redemption and your love, that it is enough to cover whatever has happened in the past. It is enough for them to try again with you. So I pray, God, that you would heal the brokenhearted here, that you would give confidence to those who need it, that you would temper the confidence of those who are overzealous, and bring us closer to one another in a life that you pictured when you told those disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. In Jesus' name, amen.